All of his stuff looked good, some probably too good because it was probably snug, but he was different in everything that he did. He locked up different. He locked up snug.
Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Snug Wrestling. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
All right, what's up, everyone? Welcome back again to Snug Wrestling Podcast. Special guest today, BT, couldn't join us today. But we have Ryan from the No So Podcast who's going to be helping us with this review. So I know it says BT Knight under there, but just ignore that. We'll probably edit that out some other time. Monday Night Raw, the Raw after the crazy Elimination Chamber just went down. And like the Elimination Chamber, the ending of this Monday Night Raw was crazy. So was the beginning, but we're going to get started with the main event. We're going to start off with the bang. Because Io Sky did the unthinkable. We thought for sure Rhea Ripley was going to win this. We thought for sure Rhea Ripley is going to go to WrestleMania. But that is not the case. At least so far, Rhea Ripley is not going to WrestleMania. Io Sky is. So we're going to get started there. And then we'll talk about the rest of the show as we go on. Mr. Blood, I promise that I would let you go first tonight for this one. And then, Ryan, I know you got a little bit of time with us. So we're going to go Mr. Blood, and then we're going to let Ryan take a second in this. So tell us, Mr. Blood, tell us how you really feel.
I'm pissed off. I'm so mad. Look, all the respect in the world to EO. We, for those of you who don't know, we actually have a whole chat for our panel here that we talk every single night during the shows. And I said that they were having a phenomenal match. I thought Io did incredible. It's Io fucking Sky. How could she not be incredible? My problem is that the bigger match at Mania is Rhea Bianca. I get that maybe this was a swerve for swerve's sake because they probably thought, well, everybody online and everybody believes that Rhea is going to win. It's a foregone conclusion. It's, you know, predictable, yada yada. So let's just swerve them for the sake of swerving them. Probably to turn this into a triple threat, I'm assuming. Mainly because why else would you have two baby faces in Rhea and Bianca go head to head with that? My biggest problem with this match specifically is the way that the outcome happened because I thought it was just fucking stupid. Bianca and Rhea get into an argument, and the match breaks down. Io's in the ring, she's relaxing. Bianca and Rhea start getting into a screaming match with each other, and Rhea pushes Bianca, which she can do. She's a competitor in the match. What I thought was the dumbest way to get to the fucking finish was having Bianca push Rhea back in front of the ref. Bianca charged Rhea as she was getting into the ring and physically put her hands on her. And by the way, a push is considered assault. Therefore, it makes it a DQ. And the ref did not throw out the fucking match. Did it was a fucking disqualification. It was a fucking disqualification. And instead of disqualifying Io Sky for Bianca's interjection onto Rhea, the ref decides to get out of the fucking ring and get into a screaming match with them and separate them, allowing Rhea to get rolled in. Then she takes too long on the top rope, placating and trying to, you know, chastise Rhea. And then she gets reversed into the greatest moonsault or the over the moonsault. What pissed me off is that Rhea should still be the fucking champion. So I don't know why they booked it for Bianca to put her hands on the champion, but the moment Bianca put her hands on Rhea, it was a disqualification. It would have been a disqualification in any other match. And the ref straight up just shouted, "We're not doing this. It's a title main event." Yada yada. I'm like, I don't want to fight with the title main event. If Rhea loses this, it's because you're a fucking bad officiator and this is booked incorrectly. Mm-hmm. Bianca didn't just tap Rhea. She full-blown ran up to her and shoved her full force into the fucking apron. And the ref saw it clear as day, stood there and watched them go back and forth at each other because Rhea retaliates. and Bianca then shoves her another two times. That is a fucking disqualification. Rhea should be the champion. Nothing against Io Sky.
Hold that thought, Mr. Blood, because I want Ryan to get his thoughts in before he leaves. That's a good point. I thought for sure that at least Bianca was going to get thrown out of the match after putting her hands on Rhea Ripley. Maybe that can come into play moving forward before Mania as a way to get Rhea Ripley, making this a three-way. But I thought for sure at least Bianca was going to get ejected, but that didn't happen either. Ryan, earlier you mentioned that you were pissed off about the show. Is this because of the main event, or what were your thoughts on the main event?
I don't know. I don't know if wrestling really gets me pissed off, but I share the same echo. I want to echo the same sentiment with Mr. Blood here. Yeah, it just feels that we're kind of wasting a dream match, right? First time ever WrestleMania or main event, not WrestleMania, at a main roster, we have Belair versus Rhea, and now we're going to have to sacrifice that for a three-way with Io. Now, all respect to Io, fantastic wrestler, probably the best wrestler out of the three, but from a star power standpoint and a presentation standpoint, Belair and Rhea deserve that main stage alone, in my opinion. I feel that we're kind of forcing Io Sky in there, very similar to perhaps forcing Seth Rollins down our throat on the male side of things at that upper echelon level. But overall, it was a good match, not the greatest match in the world. I agree with Blood. The finish there was wonky, played into the, match perhaps leading into a three-way. That's the out. But then again, that's a flimsy way of getting there as well. It makes, why use Rhea Ripley, who just won the belt back a month ago or 2 months ago at the Netflix debut, has one title offense and then loses it because she has never had a confrontation really in the longest time with Belair on TV. And now that she's distracted because Belair is cheering on Io Sky, it's flimsy. It's lazy. And it's just, they should be better than that, in my opinion.
So do you think this is leading to a three-way, or do you think we'll get like, maybe Rhea Ripley is going to get involved in that whole storyline with Jade Cargill and Naomi?
Yeah, that seems backwards. I feel that this is leading to a three-way. Perhaps Pierce says the referee's discretion. Rhea, you get your rematch at WrestleMania because Jessica Carr should have disqualified Belair for putting her hands on you, like Blood said. Or she has to earn her way in by, I don't know, whatever. I feel like it's going to head to a three-way. It's just flimsy and loose. They should be better than this.
So you were Team Rhea all the way. You thought for sure Rhea was going to win this.
I just want the belt. I just felt that Belair and Rhea should be presented at WrestleMania 1-on-1.
Right on. Mr. Blood, for unpredictability, let's go back to Mr. Blood. Let him. I'm going to let you finish your thoughts, and then we'll go Tommy and Toxic. I want to hear everyone's thoughts on the main event. For unpredictability, for excitement, to like kind of keep the viewer like more interested, you still don't think this was the right call, Mr. Blood?
No, because it feels like they hot potatoed it on the EO for the sake of swerving the audience, just because they knew that everybody expected Rhea to win anyway, and they just wanted to swerve us for swerve's sake. In my opinion, this is one of the very rare L's in Triple H's booking. look, you want to swerve us for swerve's sake? Don't do it in a main event for Monday Night Raw that is quite literally, balancing the potentiality of an actual world championship match at Mania. That's not the kind of booking I want to see with the women's division, because I mentioned this several weeks ago where I said we always get insanely good banger level women's title matches at Mania. We have for the last 5-6 years, we have been blessed with the best women's wrestling at Mania the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. And of my favorite, Rhea Charlotte was insane for me. That was the greatest women's match I've ever seen in my life. But what pisses me off is that I also said we always get the greatest women's wrestling at Mania with the worst builds. They always have the worst builds, every single one of them. They're always terrible builds, except for, I guess you can make an argument of Bayley and Io, But that was literally, they got lucky and they almost fumbled that two or three times as well. This is repeating that same pattern of, we know no matter which one of them is in that match, you know, in April, whether it's a one-on-one or a triple threat in any combination, it's going to be an insanely well-worked match. The problem is the build getting there. I mean, I want to be invested the entire way, not just on the night.
Okay.
So I think this was an L.
All right, Tommy, let's go with you.
Fuck that ref. No. Screw him. Usually she's good. I will say that. Usually she's a good ref. But it, in this case, no. It absolutely should have ended right then and there with a disqualification. But it didn't. And the bigger sell, as Blood said, is the EST versus the Eradicator. Rhea and Bianca. But at this point, it's not going to end up being a triple threat because there's no possible way they're leaving Rhea out of this.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to end up being a triple threat in a spot where it really shouldn't have been.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like the fact that that's what this is leading up to. Because all he did was just do this just so he could trick us. That's it. It was a swerve for swerve's sake.
Interesting. All right. Toxic, let's go with you. And then I have one last crazy thing I want to add to this before we move on to the next segment. But go ahead, Toxic.
Okay. No disrespect to the referee, Jessica English, please. The referee, Jessica Carr. Mm-hmm. But I agree with everyone else. It should have ended disqualification as soon as Bianca pushed Rhea. Like, it doesn't matter if it's a title match or not. Bianca pushed Rhea. That counts as Bianca attacking Rhea. So that leads into a disqualification. In any other match, that would have been the case.
Mm-hmm.
Here? No.
So,
my bad.
No, go ahead.
I'm going to finish this and then throw it to you. It would have been cool to see EO be added in later on due to the fact that Bianca costed her the title technically, but she just shouldn't have won the title.
Y'all are mad. No, listen, where are you done, Toxic? Or do you want?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay, so this is gonna sound crazy. This is gonna sound like a total reach because it is. But Jessica Carr, everyone seems to be blaming the referee, Jessica Carr. I also saw a report a while ago that WWE trademarked a name for her, like a wrestling name, I believe. I don't remember all the details, but what if she gets involved in a bigger role, the referee, Jessica Carr, in this thing that's happening with Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair? Is that crazy? Go ahead, Mr. Blood.
What was it?
Mr. Blood could probably give more info on that. I think he knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so that report actually came out, I think, on Thursday or Friday. I think it was PW Insider or Sean Ross Sapp that broke that report, because I heard it while I was on Wrestle Talk. And so essentially, for those who don't know, Jessica Carr, you actually used to be a professional wrestler. Before she got to WWE, she was a wrestler, and she's still already redone her bump training. Most refs in WWE have to go back through bump training in case they're ever involved in angles regarding it. But they did do a trademark for her last Thursday or Friday. I don't know what the name was, but that report is accurate. I've never seen really Sean Ross Sapp or PW Insider ever really be wrong about those things, and it was an inside source that they got it from. So, yeah, I mean, if they get her involved somewhere down the line, because here's the thing about what that report is and what you just said. The only reason I can think they decided to make this angle the way that they did it to end it, look how much Jessica got involved. She got all the way out of the ring. Mm-hmm. She got in between them. She screamed at them. She shoved them both back. She put her hands on both of them at the same time. And she did more than most refs do. She got physical with them and in their faces. So I'm assuming that at some point, Jessica's either going to get back in the ring or she's going to get involved in the storyline on a physical level where maybe they call BS on her, officiating. Maybe Rhea next week calls her out and goes, you know, this is your fault, Jessica. You need to make this right. Reverse the decision, yada, yada, yada. And it goes from there. But I don't think they would do all that and have her physically put her hands on them and get all the way out of the ring to do it, by the way. Instead of just ejecting Bianca, she decided to go the extra step and put her hands on Bianca.
Yeah.
So that will remain to be seen.
Jessica Carr really inserted herself in that situation, but that was the main event, you guys. We're going to move on.
May I jump in real quick, Snug?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Ryan.
Let me just add a little bit to that. I think she's going to work Evolve. As I think the report said she's going to work Evolve under a mask, which is starting Wednesday as well. So who knows if how true that is. But I could see her definitely getting physical with Rhea Ripley. Perhaps Rhea Ripley, like, taking all her anger out on her. And maybe that will lead to something. But that does that make sense? Because we have a freshly christened baby face within the last year, Rhea Ripley. Are we going to give her some edge in her attacking a referee and blaming a referee? That's quite a bit heelish. So we have Belair that could maybe be tweening a little bit to the dark side. Io is a pure baby face now. It's just weird dichotomy between the three of them, if that's the direction. Yeah. I don't know. It just doesn't sit well. I'm open to go on a roller coaster, but just sacrificing Belair for in Rhea in at WrestleMania on that stage in the one-on-one capacity just doesn't sit right with me. It doesn't feel like it's right. I'm always open for whatever, but just accepting that finish just ain't right. And sitting with you guys, listening to what you guys have to say, it just ain't making it better.
No, none of this makes any sense. We're just like trying to fucking pick at anything just to see if we can make sense of any of this, because it really doesn't. But you're absolutely right. We don't fucking know what's really happening. You know, everything that they do means something, though. We know that much. So we're like very, you know, try to catch on little things like that. But no, you're absolutely right, Ryan. Ryan, since you are the guest, and I know your time is limited. I'm going to let you choose the next segment on the show.
Something I wasn't down on, and I hope you guys don't make me jump to the start here and start extremely hot, but that opening segment was incredible for sure. CM Punk, man, all that vitriol, that anger just bottled into that, 10-minute promo. He buried The Rock. He buried Seth. He buried Cena. All great stuff, man. Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear what you guys have to say about that.
Okay. Tommy, did you want to say something real quick before we move on?
Yeah, could we also bring up how pissed Rhea herself was at the end of that?
No, let's move on. We're done talking about that. Go ahead. So let's go to the beginning because, even though we started off with the main event, Monday Night Raw also started off hot because CM Punk pulled up and he was pissed. A pissed off CM Punk, as we all know, on camera and off camera, shit is about to go down. Something is about to happen. And I thought for sure CM Punk was going to come out and call out Seth Rollins. But no, CM Punk's like, I'm here to call everybody out. Give me names. And I don't know if this was planned. It felt like it wasn't. It felt natural. CM Punk was just like, all right. Oh, The Rock, John Cena. And he just cuts like the stiffest promo on both of these guys right here. It was exciting. I was kind of wondering, like, what the hell did, why is CM Punk calling out The Rock and Seth Rollins? The Rock and John Cena. But I guess CM Punk was upset of how John Cena beat him at the Elimination Chamber. So that makes sense. then, of course, we saw the big pull apart. And the only thing that I had to say, when was the last time that we saw This Is Awesome Chance and Holy Shit Chance on a pull apart involving fake security guards? These people want to see CM Punk versus Seth Rollins. We're going to get that eventually. But Ryan, you spoke a little bit, but I want to hear your thoughts first, and then we'll move on to someone else.
Yeah, we're getting it next week in the steel cage match, Madison Square Garden. I wonder if that's going to be the quote-unquote blow-off for now, right? That's definitely throws a monkey wrench into potential WrestleMania plans that we first saw, but I'm definitely looking forward to see what happens there. Good stuff, too. But yeah, you know, for those people that call Punk washed and a has-been, no chance. You know, that performance in Elimination Chamber and then that mic work to start the show, and it, just like him, that attitude, that tone, that presence with him walking out of that SUV to the ring, shit was on, and he delivered in a big way. The floor is set for a hell of a ride to WrestleMania with him, and then he probably set the table for a few more matches down the line, too. He's going to be one of John Cena's big opponents, perhaps maybe his last one, who knows, for 2025. So, yeah, I'm going to hang up and listen, guys. I'm looking forward to listening to the rest of it tomorrow. Keep up the good work in the toxic, or not the the Snug universe, guys. I listen all the time. Keep it up. Thank you, Snug.
Thanks, later, Ryan. Guys. Have a good night. All right. Tommy, I'm going to let you get us started with the opening segment with CM Punk, and we'll go toxic. And Mr. Blood, you can take us home with this one.
All right. So one of the biggest things that also comes to mind with this, besides the fact that everything that Ryan just said, is Drew McIntyre's tweet directly after. Mm-hmm. He posts out, replying to a tweet from The Rock from 2011, and just goes, 14 years out and he's still relevant. Shut the fuck up, Punk, or something like that. I'll see you down the line. I'm like, ooh, this is gonna be good. This is leading up to something good. But yeah, he brought up the match for next week at Madison Square Garden. That's not going to be at the end of it. If I know anything about these two, it's not going to be the end of it. It's just not. These two want each other, like, unalived. That is how much these two hate each other. There's no possible way that it's just going to end in a regular steel cage match. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to happen.
I hope not. For sure. All right, Toxic.
Oh, boy. What a fucking way to kick off Raw.
Shout out to Sudduff619. Go ahead.
I absolutely enjoyed every single second of it. Rollins and Punk hate each other so damn much that they had like 5 to 10 security guards around both of them. Plus Adam Pearce and every, I don't know who they are, but people in suits. Everyone's just trying to pull them apart. Pat McAfee scattered somewhere. Michael Cole scattered somewhere. This segment was insane. Not to mention, this isn't the end. They brawled backstage, too. And then they finally stopped. So, I really enjoyed this. An amazing way to kick off Raw after an extreme pay-per-view as the Elimination Chamber. And, Snug, I don't want to correct you something. The reason why Punk brought up Cena and Rock is because Pat McAfee and Michael Cole was saying The Rock, John Cena, Seth Rollins. So, yeah, that's why he was calling out Rock and Cena.
Mm-hmm. Right on. All right, Mr. Blood.
First off, like you, Snug, I am a Punk stan. I mean, that man could do absolutely anything. I feel like I am as much of a Punk stan as MAGA supporters champion Trump. Like, I'm that deep in behind Punk. And so anything he does, anything at all, I mean, he could take a piss and I'll cheer for him. Like, it's an unhealthy fandom. But as far as it is concerned, if you're going to start off after something like Elimination Chamber, the way the match ended specifically, I mean, let's not forget that John Cena screamed in his ear, sorry, while he was choking the life out of him in an STF. Okay. And Seth is screaming, you know, I'm not going to repeat it here because I think when we did it, said it on the review, it knocked out the TikTok feed. But screaming profanities and not very well wishes to him while he was in that submission. So for Punk to come out and just go, you know what? Fuck it. I'm Al Capone. I got my Tommy gun out. And you know what? Line them up and let's just start popping off on the mic at random. Somebody give me a name. Because what I think happened was Triple H said, you know what? I want that old pipe bomb Punk out there. All you need to do is just go out there and start selling people on feuds. And he went out there and he just straight up went, give me a name. And Mac, he's like, The Rock, Cena, McIntyre, you know, he's just saying to everybody. And he goes, you said The Rock? Okay, The Rock. And he just, in classic Punk fashion, off the cuff, no time to waste, and just started going in on everybody. And I loved it. He was, and what I thought was great, what stood out to me is how hurt he seemed about John's selling of his soul to The Rock. He genuinely seemed hurt by it because he is a friend of John Cena's. He is a friend of The Rock's. And so, and he's made that clear even in kayfabe that are friends. They have made up with each other. They're friends. The problem is, his one friend just beat him in a way that was so unlike and so dishonorable to whom Punk knows him as. Because, you know, I said this on the Elimination Chamber review on wherever you get your podcast, Apple Podcasts, check it out. It's out, Snug Wrestling, for the Chamber review from Sunday. But the last time they had, or the second to last time they had a one-on-one at the Money in the Bank, you know, years ago, when Laurinaitis and McMahon tried to interfere in the match to screw over Punk and create another screw job, John Cena refused to go along. But John Cena got out of the ring to clothesline John Laurinaitis and get in Vince's face and scream at him and say, I'm not going to win. I'm not going to win this way. And for the callback to that in the Chamber match where Punk is literally getting screwed over by an already eliminated Seth Rollins. And this time, Cena decided he wanted to win that way. So the rage inside of Punk on this promo makes so much sense canonically to his history with Cena and the way that that match ended. And for the brawl that ensued, I thought this is perfect sense because he's angry that Cena dishonored their friendship by winning that way, but he's furious at Punk for allowing that door to have ever even been opened. Because here's the thing. If Rollins doesn't screw Punk, Cena probably doesn't beat Punk. There's no turn on Cody publicly, no selling of the soul. Punk gets his main event. Cena gets dick. And Seth Rollins has to eat his dessert. And we got a brawls, man. These guys went everywhere. And then they went backstage. And it got this is awesome chance. It got holy shit chance. And I'm telling you, at this point, I actually forgot that Roman Reigns is probably involved in this feud. So I'm wondering, with a month and a half out, at what point is Reigns going to be interjected back? Because we did find out, they did release the report this morning. WrestleTalk posted the review or the report that Cena will not be back until they do, I guess it's the European tour on March 17th. So we've got to go 2 weeks without hearing from Cena. So in the meantime, that story grows, but we've got to get Reigns back in this with Rollins and Punk, because this is going to be a triple threat match. There's nowhere else for Reigns to go at Mania.
Yeah, and Seth Rollins, after the big brawl, when he spoke to Adam Pearce, like outside in the parking lot somewhere during Monday Night Raw, he said something that really stood out to me. Seth Rollins said, "Give me Punk, give me the match, so I can make sure he doesn't make it to WrestleMania." So I, the same way that I took out Roman Reigns, and I'm like, that hasn't been established yet. Roman Reigns not being at WrestleMania, or Roman Reigns being taken out so before WrestleMania, so he doesn't make it. Seth Rollins is misinformed there.
Well, I gotta say, because I'm gonna finish my thought so I can pass it. I think, because I was gonna mention that, I think that steel cage match next week is when Reigns gets reinserted. I don't think either of those men walk out of that steel cage next week as the victor. I think when it looks like it's all about to be over, and it's going to be a great steel cage match, because I guarantee you it's the main event, we're going to hear, oh, and Reigns is going to come out, and he is going to wreck shop on two very exhausted dudes, and it's going to start their triple threat build next week.
Well, that's
them being friends outside. Nothing proves that more than right after Rollins was eliminated. Those two look at each other right before they go at it and just go, "I missed you. I missed you too." Right before they go at it. Right. It was right before that hug, before they fully went at it.
Yeah. But yeah, that is very likely to happen. If we see Roman Reigns come back, that would be the perfect place to do it. Madison Square Garden, steel cage match, CM Punk versus Seth Rollins. Let's fucking see it. But we got a whole week to wait before we see that match. It's definitely going to be a main event match. It's definitely going to be great. It's definitely going to be amazing, and I can't wait. We're all over the place today. We started off the show with the main event. If you're now just joining us, we talked about the Rhea Ripley thing. So let's get back on track here. Well, kind of a little bit. They're in Buffalo, New York. And when the show first started, it started with the CM Punk thing, but I thought it was funny to point out that they played a video package of Elimination Chamber, and they showed all the stars. Nav was one of them, who's a pretty famous rapper, as was some actors from Netflix, some ex-NFL players, all these famous people, Travis Scott, they showed him, but no Drake. Drake was not part of that video package, which I thought was funny, so I had to mention that. Besides the matches and the segments that we saw, I want to follow up with the announcements or the updates that we got after the Elimination Chamber. The first one that I want to talk about is Bianca Belair. Bianca Belair had an interview during Monday Night Raw, where of course she was asked about what happened at the Elimination Chamber. Now, this is what I noticed. Bianca Belair, she is completely over how devastated she was after Jade Cargill attacked Naomi. I get that it could be because she won the Elimination Chamber and she's happy now, but after seeing the video of her crying her little crocodile tears out and making this big scene about her friend getting attacked and her not being able to do nothing about it, one would think, hey, I'm still pretty upset about this. Like, I know I won the chamber, but it's hard for me to celebrate something like that after my two friends are beating the fuck out of each other, or one of my friends got beat up. But tonight, it was a completely different Bianca Belair tonight. She was happy. Of course, she gave her most political answer. Out of respect for the both of them, I don't want to talk about it that much. And, you know, she stayed positive, and what is happening here? I know we talked about it a little bit, but how did you guys feel about Bianca Belair's reaction or what she said tonight after everything went down? Let's go with you first, Toxic, and then we'll go on to the next person.
I think it's completely reasonable. She doesn't want to say anything. Like, she doesn't want to confirm anything from the two until she talks to both of them. But I think we're going to hear from Jade first. Like, we're going to see Bianca and Jade first talk because it was announced that Jade Cargill is returning on SmackDown. So, yeah, and I don't think we're seeing Naomi for a while. Like, halfway through, like, I would say 20-something days until WrestleMania.
All right, Mr. Blood?
Like I said before, yesterday at the Elimination Chamber review, when Jay came out, she attacked Naomi, and Bianca was losing her shit. Jade would know who attacked her, because obviously Jade would have had to have fought that person off and lost. It's not like you're going to be able to throw someone Jade's size, strength, and stature off of a platform into a car windshield without her at least being able to look up and see who did it, or at least feeling someone trying to run her off of a ledge. Because it's not like she would have been walking the line. You would have had to have fought her, beaten her up, and thrown her off. She would have known by then who it was. And let's not forget that at the same time that Jade's attacked, Bianca is in the middle of a Queen of the Ring qualifying match. So, or a Queen of the Ring tournament match. She wasn't, because I could have swore that she lost that match because she looked at the monitor.
It was a qualifying match for the United States Championship.
The United States?
Women's United States.
Okay. So thank you for correcting me. So she's in the middle of a title match. It's not like she had the time to go back there with Naomi's help, beat the tar out of Jade, throw her off, and then make it all the way up to Gorilla, all the way down the ramp, three quarters of the way through a match, before someone would have found Jade in the car parking garage, especially since we have camera footage of Liv and Raquel being in that same parking garage at the exact same time that that's happened to her. But we know it's not Liv, and we know it's not Raquel. Because it's too obvious. Why would you? Here's the thing that I didn't get to say. Liv is such a look at me, look at me. She loves getting attention for doing horrible things. Don't you think if they and Raquel had attacked Jade, don't you think Liv would have actually taken credit for it? Because she would have. Yeah. You know, so my thing is also Liv wouldn't be afraid of Jade. She's got Raquel right there watching her back. So that tells me if Naomi had to have been the one who did it, she's the only one who benefited from it. I said it the night it happened, Naomi benefited because she automatically the next week gets to be the stand-in tag team partner for the soon-to-be vacated titles. So it had to be Naomi. Because why else? If Jade thought it was Bianca, Jade would have attacked Bianca's pod. She would have been throwing Naomi into Bianca's pod. She would have eyed Bianca. She would have tried to kick the door in to get to Bianca.
So she didn't.
That tells me Bianca had nothing to do with it.
So you don't think it's a little suspicious how Bianca was acting tonight?
I think that the reason she brushed it off like that and said, you know, it's a little bittersweet, because I'm happy that I won, but I'm sad that my friends are fighting kind of thing. Because it's also just the promo way of going, hey, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, tune into SmackDown for the viewership.
Yeah.
If you want to know what happened, tune in. You know, that kind of thing. And she just said it that way.
Right.
But I don't think it makes sense. Nothing story-wise so far that we know, clue-wise, not only places Bianca where the scene of the crime happened, but it doesn't make sense for her either. Because why would she take out her own tag partner to risk her own tag title vacation?
Shout out to Dre Leah Zoe says Bianca did it. all right, Tommy. Well, same.
If Bianca did it, Jade sure as shit just decided to ignore it when she was face to. She could have been face to face with her in the chamber.
All right, Tommy, same question goes for you. Did you find Bianca Belair's answers and behavior tonight a little suspicious?
No, because she's still running on adrenaline. Usually adrenaline from something like that would run through for a couple of days, at least. So that odds are she's running through adrenaline with that. And I see what those two are doing. They're doing the Cody Rhodes shit. God damn it, boys. But I'm honestly with blood on this. If Liv actually attacked her, don't you think, like, just like with everything else, she wouldn't be able to fucking shut up about it? Because even after she won the title and claimed herself as the greatest woman's champion of all time, that's literally all she said. She never shut up about that. So if Liv actually attacked her, she would have said something by now. Besides the, so what if I did, from the kickoff show for the chamber.
Yeah. I'm looking on my phone because for some reason my comments are showing up on the fucking, on the stream. So quick shout out to Garbosically Speaking says, Bianca is totally guilty. That's actually a quote from her. Bianca actually said she felt guilty in that interview, so I thought it's important to
probably felt, though, because two of the people that she's closest with are currently beating the hell out of each other.
Yeah.
Well, one of them is more getting pummeled than the other, but the point there still stands. The two people that she's closest with right now are fighting. So she would feel guilty over that.
I gotta say this. The fact that you can kind of say Bianca Belair, besides the referee, you can also say Bianca Belair is the reason Bianca Belair caused Rhea Ripley the title, which to me is also mighty heelish, mighty sus. Okay.
There's one thing with Naomi, though, that I've seen somebody notice. Naomi at the chamber had a bandana hanging from her thigh. When was the last time we saw Naomi with any sort of bandana?
Who cares about that? What does that mean?
It's when she was healed, so she had to have done it.
All right, Bled, let's finish this segment so we can move on.
Okay. I don't know if Toxic spoke, but hold on a sec. Or Toxic, you went? Okay, so I got to disagree with you on something there. Bianca did not cost Rhea the title tonight.
Distracted her.
Rhea, she wasn't distracted anymore. Rhea got all the way up in that ring, beat up Io, got her all the way up for an avalanche riptide. Then stop to look at Bianca and shout at her, I'll see you at WrestleMania.
Exactly.
That gave Io, but that's, Bianca didn't distract her. Rhea distracted herself because Bianca wasn't screaming at her anymore. Rhea took the time to stop doing her move to pay attention back to Bianca. And then that's how she got reversed.
Okay, but we just talked about,
she cost herself.
We just talked about how Bianca Belair put her hands on Rhea Ripley. Not
yes,
once,
it should
twice,
have been. It should have
times.
Yes, it should have been a DQ at that point. But from there, when they separated, Bianca went back to minding her own business. Rhea was back in the ring doing her own business, and then her own ego got the better of her because she wanted the last word.
I know.
And EO capitalized.
I know y'all love Bianca, but.
No, I love Rhea. Are you kidding me? I love Rhea.
Bianca is looking mighty sus here. All right, but let's move on. That was a Bianca update after what happened at the Elimination Chamber. The other update that I want to talk about, just really quick, I don't want to spend too much time on this. Michael Cole said that he spoke to Cody Rhodes, and Cody Rhodes is going to address the situation on Friday Night SmackDown. In quick 30 seconds, what do you guys think Cody Rhodes is going to say? Tommy, you first this time. What do you think we'll hear from Cody on Friday?